Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning as Jace. Our sponsors today, Got Fish Expo, that's right around the corner, that's coming back, and the Belleville Meat Market, Texan Roofing, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather in Galveston, it's 51 down on the island this morning. Today looks like sunny to partly cloudy, high of 61. Those winds will be east-northeast, 15 to 25. And then tonight, overcast, low of 59, east winds 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, cloudy skies. Slight chance of rain coming back, and possible shower, high of 71. That rain chance tomorrow is about 20 to 30% with a southeast wind at 10 to 20 miles per hour. So looks like warm weather coming back for the weekend after this little cool spell. Tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have three tides remaining today. We have a low coming up at 6:37 a.m. It's an 0.9. Then a high at 10:12 a.m., a 1.0, and then a low at 5:05 p.m., an 0.4. Sunrise, 6:56 a.m., sunset, 5:20 p.m., and our moon phase and visibility is 51%. We're right at a half moon headed towards our next full moon. Current conditions right now, looks like down in Galveston, air temperature 51, water temp 63, east-northeast 13, gusting to 18, Eagle Point, 48 degrees with 59 degree water, east northeast wind 20 to 23, and at Morgan's Point, pretty much the same, 47 degrees, 61 degree water, east northeast 15 to 16, barometric pressure 30.32 inches, and on the rise. So there you have it. That's a little different. Still windy this morning, though. What a blow that was yesterday. All right, well, let's head over east of town. Let's go over to Sabine Lake area and let's check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning and see what he's up to. Bill, good morning. What's going on?
Oh, brother, life is good over here.
Yeah.
Everything's
good everywhere.
Everything's just fine. Yeah. Good to be alive.
Yes, sir.
But maybe we might discuss just a little bit of how high pressure affects speckled trout.
We are in
some high pressure right now. So, yeah, it does affect them. You know, when I first come down here, I wondered about that because I never really winter fished that much for specs.
Right.
It was like an 8 month out of the year proposition for me. But after I moved back from Jasper, I started doing a real study on how that affects them because I had found out how much it affects them on the bass. And it definitely makes them react to that high pressure. You know, low pressure, high pressure, falling barometer, rising barometer, whatever. And lo and behold, I found out that it affects speckled trout just like it does bass.
Yes, it does.
It'll make them act funny, but does not mean that they can't be caught. And what it does mean is if you get in on a windward shore and it's cold and that high, bright sky, you're probably not going to catch anything. But if you'll turn around and go, I mean, now maybe down at Laguna Madre where it's, you know, gin clear and all that good stuff, maybe that might be a different situation. But up here where we are, you need to go to the other side of the lake and get up there where it's not affecting, the wind is not affecting the water so much. And then you can expect those fish to be picky. I mean, the other day when I caught them so good, it was cold, and the water temperature was like 53, and they were just tearing the lure off the end of them. you couldn't not hook them, but the bite would be funny. They'd come up there and they'd ease up and grab that bait and just keep swimming at you with it. And they would, after you'd get them coming a little bit and notice that you couldn't feel your lure anymore, you better set the hook. And boy, you'd think that they would be lethargic, but they're not.
No, they haven't gotten near cold enough to slow these trout down yet.
No. You know, 53-degree water. Now, that was service temperature.
Remember when we used to hear back in the day, all the old-timers said, man, you got to just crab walk that lure. You got to work it super slow. And I'd be fishing in the cold wintertime, and I'm going, man, where do these guys get this? I can't work my lure fast enough to catch these fish. You know, it just, you can't take it away from them. I mean, think about it. If a trout can swim a mullet down and catch a mullet, we can't work a lure out of his range. I mean, he can catch it anytime he feels like he wants it. If he's not biting, he's not going to touch it. But if he's in a feeding mode, he's coming to get it. I mean, that's just a, you know, I can see it slowing it down and crawling it over their head, you know, when the water temperature is in the 30s, you know, like 38 to 39 when they're about to die. But, man, when that water's in the, you know, upper 40s and into the 50s, I mean, it's on. I mean, it's, I think they feed better than that than they do in the summertime.
they do seem like they do, but they'll react to high pressure. They'll swim up behind that bait and grab it and just keep coming at you. But they've already got it caught. They're not worried about it getting away.
No.
But you'll miss some bites like that if you...
Well, yeah, you got to be on your game when they're hitting it and coming to you. I mean, they're chasing that bait down and coming at you with it wide open.
Yeah, if you keep trying to work that bait, you'll cause them to react and open their mouth, and you'll feel that when they let it go, that's when you feel it. That's the only thing you got to pay attention to. And if you're using braid, it works a lot easier during that kind of situations like that. But I pretty well stay with mono on my bait casters. I use braid on my spinning reels.
You
feel something funny on there, like it's dragging a wet paper bag or something, set the hook. That's the fish. He's on it. You might hook a piece of grass, but you probably
it doesn't cost any extra to set the hook.
No, heck no.
If you feel something that doesn't feel normal while you're working that bait, set the hook. It's free. Doesn't cost anything.
That's right. And that day, those fish began to, they were coming up out of 16, 20, maybe 10 foot of water. As they would chase those shrimp around in a circle, they were running them up and down the river and quite a bit out, flowing tide. And if you just waited patiently and left your motor on spot lock, they would come by you again. And every time they come by, you just keep casting around in every direction. And we were off their beaten path just enough that the trolling motor didn't bother them at all. And occasionally, if you'd catch two or three, they'd come right up to the boat, and then they'd fade back out. But they were pushing shrimp up and making them actually jump in the air.
Monday was tough on me. I had a tough day, but I didn't work birds. The only people I know that crushed them on Monday were the ones that worked birds. Next to deep water, and in deep water and next to deep water. All the other pattern stuff, flats and drop-offs and ridges and guts and everything, It was a slow bite. I mean, you could catch them, but you had to work. You had to really, really, really button down and fish hard. But the only guys I know that really tore them up Monday were the ones that worked birds, you know, trout chasing shrimp.
Yeah, that's what I went out looking for Tuesday. I went out there looking for that, but the wind was pretty bad. It started off running pretty good, you know, 15, 18, and I just really couldn't get up to the north end of the lake where I wanted to go.
Right. Well, the weatherman ran me off on Tuesday. Never trust the weatherman. Just get up and go.
Yeah, I know.
And I'd already made up my mind up before I went to bed Monday night. I said, well, I'm not going to go tomorrow. It's supposed to be south at 30 and 70% chance of rain. Well, it wasn't quite that hard. It was 15 to 20, but no rain at all. We didn't get a drop.
Yeah, we didn't either.
I should have went.
Well, that's two of my three guests were arguing with the other one about.
Right, about the forecast.
let's call Bill and tell him to don't. I mean, this was like 4 a.m. They're arguing to just cancel the trip. And this guy already knew. He had already canceled a trip on me, and I went out by myself and caught a bunch of trout that day and called him and told him, I said, look, you need to cancel from the ramp. That's where you cancel your fishing trip.
Yeah.
Get down there and look at it. Go on. If you want to go fishing, go fishing and see what you can think about it then. Well, sure enough, they show up, and he talked them into going, and they never called me. And I went right down there, and the wind was blowing all right, but boy, the water was beautiful and dark, tea stained clear. And even though we couldn't get to where we wanted to go, we caught a lot of fish. I mean, trout and slot reds, and just had a grand time. And so when it's over with, they all looked around and said, well, we were wrong, Bill. We wanted to cancel, but it turned out the rain went all around us. It was over in Louisiana. And it was,
yeah, it went all above you and to the east, you know, Mississippi, Arkansas, you know, and northeast Louisiana, all that.
Yeah, it split,
tornado
went around the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great day. I mean, it was warm and no problems. Like one little sprinkle come through and it didn't get the deck wet. And we just went from spot to spot. And, yeah, we had to catch them deep water close to the mouth of a bow or a ditch or something
right,
where you had depth of at least 6 or 7 feet. And you just keep hunting those spots, and you pick up two or three here and go over here and pick up three or four and then go back to that spot, and it'd reload, and you'd catch some more. And basically, we fished three areas that weren't that far apart and just circled around. And after you'd let it rest for about 2 hours, you'd go back and catch some more.
Yeah.
And they were really stout fish. I mean, 17, 18, 19 inch trout. Just a really, really nice deal. I had 15. I had a Texas limit on the Louisiana side. But
yeah.
the other part of the story was the redfish that we stumbled into. And
right.
We broke off, they broke off 4 or 5 reds and wound up landing 10. And they were slot reds anywhere from 17 up to about 24. Just perfect. Yeah. And perfect Louisiana redfish. If we hadn't run out of time, we would have caught some more. There was a big school of them there.
And yeah, a lot of my, all my drain areas, bayous and drains and everything were real dirty from runoff from that rain event we had in, it was all messed up, man. There was debris floating everywhere. It was pretty nasty in a lot of areas. Water was off. It was good underneath. It's just on top, but it kind of killed the bite I've been on anyway. But, hey, that's fishing this time of year after that rain. And this front right here will change everything, blow the water out, and it'll all come back pretty, and we'll be back to the same old thing. Let me knock this break out, Bill. I'll be right back at you, buddy. Hang on. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Galveston County Fishing Show. It's for 3 days. That's the Godfish Expo. That's going to be Friday, December 9th through Sunday, December 11th at the Mainland City Center. That's at 10,000 Emmett F. Lowry Expressway there in Texas City. And this is a unique Christmas shopping opportunity since all the visitors are all, you know, exhibitors are all about fishing. And exhibitors include companies like Fish Stick Rods, Chicken Boy Lures, Hoodoo Kayaks, Real Wicked Apparel, Laguna Rods, and Overboard Custom Boats, just to name a few. And over 80 exhibitors, plus their free pictures with Santa for the kids. Get the kids out there and have them sit in Santa's lap. They'll do that and get their photo. For more information, go to GodFishExpo.com. That's GodFishExpo.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 418 here in the Bayou City on the first day of December. All right, 14 more days, and you folks can box a flounder or two or three or four or five, whatever you want to box. I know a lot of folks are looking forward to that. Hope this weather won't get too cold and keep them around a while. All right, Bill, we are back, my friend.
Well, speaking of flounder, since you brought that up.
I'm sure you got a flounder story. You had to throw a big doormat back.
Yeah, we did. We had to throw a pretty nice one back, about a four-pounder. But in Louisiana, it's already opened back up. So
yeah, they're back at it.
Have at it. They give their guys a little bit of a window to play. And typically, on a year like this, where it's not all that cold, those flounder, they'll still be trying to move through the channels and go down to get down toward the Gulf, and you'll be able to catch them in all the usual places.
Right.
So I'm sure that bite is going to be well utilized.
Let me ask you something. I got some really good headphones. Are you cooking breakfast?
My wife is. She actually
making me hungry. I can hear it, man. I'm going, that's big time.
She's cooking a turkey stew.
Oh, man. I heard her chopping stuff up, you know, the first segment we were talking. Man. Tell her I'll be there in about 30 minutes.
You'll be there in about 30 minutes?
Yeah. I'm going to put it on 100. I'm heading to Vider.
You ought to be here smelling it. It's making me hungry, and I'm not supposed to be hungry yet.
That's true. Oh, that's good stuff, man. Only in the outdoors.
That's right.
Well, I'm still catching flounder way up my way. I know those fish, they're not going south. I mean, they're here for the winter. And they're all, you know, next to deep drains and bayous and rivers and things like that where, you know, they've got their deep water access. And you know how in the spring when the shrimpers first start up and they catch those little bitty tiny flounder in their nets? You going to tell me those little bitty flounder swam all the way from the Gulf that quick, that turnaround? way up at the north end like that. I just think there's some that stay here and reproduce that way.
I do, too. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, me too.
Because there's water deep enough for them to spawn in the rivers.
Yes.
The ship channels. I mean, you got 45 foot of water, 50 foot of water in that river in places.
Heck yeah.
They've channelized it. So, I mean, I've been up there in January, just like you say, January. It's way too late for any fish to go to the Gulf. And that's like 25 miles away.
Right.
And I'm catching maybe 30 miles. I'm catching fish way up the Neches River, close to the warm water outfalls, even in the areas where it's just cold water.
Right.
You know, just river water. They'll be there. You catch them sometimes 5-6 foot deep, down to 10 foot deep.
Right.
And it's just, you know, they just
see,
don't
that plays right into your hand, man. You being old bass fisherman like you are, that plays right into your, that's right in your lap, man.
Oh, heck yeah. I like to fish deep. When the fish are deep.
Right.
And I can do that. That's not hard for me to do. It just plays right into my game plan.
Yeah, you got it figured out, man.
I do.
And you have the confidence to stay with it. You know they're there. You know they're there, and you just you stick with them. Do you get them going?
Yeah, sometimes I have to get my folks to have patience with me and let me
sure.
do what I do. Don't be trying to run all over the place. The fish
That's
are going to show
fish.
Up. They're going to show up in those certain areas of where the bends in the river are, or, you know, where these shelves that drop off, they'll show up if you just patiently work them. And then you can see them on your depth finder.
Right.
And you just got to wait for them to make their move. Now, I fiddle farted around like that up to, you know, maybe 11 o'clock up in the morning, and all of a sudden, feel the boat.
Yep.
And it's hard when you're not catching anything, you're just hauling water. It's hard to have patience. Sometimes there's another bite available close by, and you can just keep checking.
Sure, you can leave sometimes, that and come back to it later. And then when you come back, you get them lit off. Got to rerun your
sometimes
traps.
Sometimes you just got to run the boat.
Sure.
To keep everybody from going crazy. That's where you just burn gas. Go look here and go look there. And hopefully you'll stumble into one or two or, you know, just enough to keep everybody alive and kicking. I mean, I hate days like that. I hate it from a guest. You know, they want to go right out there and catch one on the first cast. And sometimes we do. And sometimes we don't. You know, that's just part of it. And I've had different ones say at the end of the day, you know, we had to work hard, but I find it more satisfying to have to figure out what those fish are doing than just going out there and catching them.
Yeah, that's part of the game.
Yeah.
That's what makes it fun. You know, for
what
me anyway,
do.
I know some people want instant gratification, but
yeah.
You know, when you put together a good catch like that during a day's time, you know, you think back and, you know, you earned it. You feel better about yourself, you know, when you have to figure things out and work a little extra to get them going and have a good day. It's part of it, man. That's fishing.
That's the game you and I play.
Yes.
You know, we go out there and hunt those fish down. And
some days chickens,
boat,
some days feathers.
That's right.
That's the way it
works. Sometimes you go out there on a Saturday or a Friday, and here's all these boats at every spot you want to fish.
Everywhere you want to be, exactly. And that makes all the difference in the world right now, the way our fish are concentrated and the pods they're in.
Yeah.
And if one boat doing the wrong thing can ruin the whole day for you.
Yeah. So, and it gets frustrating like that. especially when you keep going from spot to spot where you know the fish are, and there's some people sitting there fishing. They might not be catching, or they might, but it doesn't matter. You ain't going to be able to just horn in and,
no.
You know, I keep a respectful distance, and I idle around way out as far as I can get to go around people catching fish. I know how it is when they come by me, you know, at flank speed or plowing and looking, and, you know, I don't want to be that guy. And I hadn't had anybody holler at me in a long, long time. I've been respectful of their deal. But you just keep on, you know, you keep on plugging and working around it, and you'll finally get your chance.
Your opportunity will come, you know.
Yeah, people get tired of running around out there trying to catch fish, and can't. You know, they're inexperienced. They don't know what they're doing. And they'll catch a couple, and they'll finally get bored and take off. And as soon as they take off, you know, 15 minutes later, those fish will come back up. And there you have it, you know. You just hover around like a buzzard and waiting your time. And you can get, you know, you'll get it. It just takes a while. But that's, to me, that's working a strategy, and it's pretty doggone satisfying when you can put together a catch.
Sure.
On those kind of days. You know, get a good catch. Get some nice fish in the boat. It's just, you know, there's competition out there. There's other fishermen, and they want to catch fish too.
Yes.
So let them do their thing, and, you know, most of the time they shoot their own self in the foot. But all that is just time on the water. You have to learn. You know, it's not about going to a hole and catching fish and going to another hole. You got to be observant. You pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to what the fish are doing. Watch the bait. Watch the birds. Watch the tide. Everything
plays. Play the current. Play the wind. I mean, all of those aspects. They all come into play. Every bit of it.
Yep. Yeah, we could.
It sounds complicated, but it's really not. You know, once you, get settled and get used to it, I mean, it just comes as second nature. You know, for experienced anglers,
you've got to put your head in the game. You can't run around out there thinking about all the other business you got to tend to when you get off the water. You've got to apply your head.
You got to throw your hat in the ring, baby. Get in there.
it's just about being observant. And to be that way, I think you have to have a love of the game.
Well, I tell you, speaking of observancy, man, running the other morning, I'm glad I didn't go in the dark. Man, there was some nasty floaters everywhere after all that rain and runoff. Man, stuff I hadn't seen in the bay in a while.
And, that's scary.
And, man, I could not believe how many huge trash bags I saw floating in the water. One of those around a lower unit, and it's over, you know, if you don't pay attention to your temperature gauge. And glad this norther here to blow it all down south, work it out of here, and come back clean.
Yeah, that'd help.
Yes.
Yeah, that was. We had quite a bit of runoff up there around the Neches and the Sabine River, the mouth of the rivers, and up in Adams Bow, Bessie Heights Marsh. We had a lot of fresh runoff because they've got a lot of, residential drainage.
Right, all that ends up in the tributaries. It'll go away. It'll mix in quick. You know, that local stuff, it may mess your fishing up for a couple of days, but it'll bounce back.
Yeah.
It'll mix in really nice.
It was not near enough to move those fish. The water's too salty.
No, the fish hadn't moved because I was getting bites and caught fish and putrid stuff, but you could tell it was clean underneath. Those fish wanted that bait down deep.
Yeah, you got to let that not fool you because, you'll get a lot of runoff. It'll be dirty on the top, and you've been catching fish right up to that point, and those fish are still there. You can look on your depth finder night around deep water and you'll see them. But you got to, you just go, you know, you go ahead and slow down and work it, and or maybe just fish somewhere else for that period of time.
Right.
You know, you don't land them out.
But, all right, Bill. Well, that was a good convo with some good information in there. I hope everybody was listening carefully. If not, they can go back to our podcast and listen to it again.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Well, Bill, if somebody wants to come over and play with you, spend a day and learn something about how to catch them over there, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
409-673-9211.
Or fishabeanlake.com.
Yeah, this time of year we try to pick our days around the fronts so we don't get blown completely away.
Yes, sir.
But we've got plenty of days we can do that. So.
That's right. We have 7 days a week. Not all of them are perfect fishing days, but, hey, the ones that are, go get them.
Good talking to you, buddy.
Hey, Bill, you too, man, and enjoy that turkey stew. It sounded good over there. All right, buddy. Hey, you have a good one, Bill. Thanks, man. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market. Go downtown, look for the big white sign right there in downtown Belleville. You can't miss it. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. And we're in full swing of deer season. They still got plenty of room. They can accommodate a lot of wild game through their processing facility. It's state-of-the-art. I've toured it from front to back door several times, and they, man, they do it right. It's all organized, and they track your game all the way through the process. And if you go to the meat market and do your shopping, they've always got their featured product, one of their famous sausages, pecan smoked sausage. And you can try it before you buy it. There's free samples always available there in the store. And, you know, this time of year, they're taking orders for their fully cooked pecan smoked turkeys, limited quantity available. So order now to reserve what you need for the holiday season. And while game processing, they're making Vinny dogs and hog dogs. That's homemade hot dogs using your own venison or wild pigs. You can bring something home from your hunt for the whole family to enjoy. And with hunting season going on, stop by and stock up on steaks, sausage, all your cooking needs when you're heading to the deer lease. And always available, they have their cooked pecan smoked briskets and pecan wood pit smoked turkey breasts. They're vacuum sealed and, oh, they're excellent. So get some to take home. And they're celebrating over 41 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:35 here in the Bayou City on this first day of December. As everybody knows, December is my favorite month. Fishing, hunting, just life's good in general. All right, let's go up to Lake Conroe now. Let's check in with the fish dude, see what Richard's up to this morning. Hey, Richard, what's going on, bud?
Not a lot, Mickey, not a lot. It's kind of cool this morning, though.
Yeah, it's your neck of the woods. It's probably in the 30s up there this morning, huh?
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at this gauge. It says 31 right now. It's
cold. Holy moly.
I know. Dang it. Like I say, I live down here in this creek bottom, so it's kind of...
It gets cold in them bottoms, don't it?
It does, I guarantee you, Mike.
And them hollers?
Yeah. Ain't no doubt. Even at the lake, though, it's cold. So, I was going to get out there and do some bass fishing today, but I got a little rat killing to do right off the bat. So, get it done and then get out there after a little bit later, about 9 o'clock, I guess. I'll get out there and go see if I can't find some of them bass, see what they're doing. Because I ain't been out in a while. It's been so dang windy and stuff. I was going to go yesterday, but the dang wind was blowing. Day four was raining.
I've heard this before. Now that you're mentioning you're going bass fishing, we all know we got a high barometer this morning. And I heard that a high barometer doesn't affect those Conroe bass like it does others due to the Florida strain or whatever. Is that a wives' tale or what?
No, it's truth. That's truth. It doesn't.
I mean, they'll actually
them.
Catch them shallow with a high barometer there.
Yes, absolutely. And okay. I mean it's. What's funny about the bigger Conroe bass, and this is the weirdest thing. You know, you'd think low pressure, cloudy, all this, everything would be good, and you'd catch some bigger fish. Mm-hmm. Well, you can catch some, but you don't catch the big ones consistently. You get a clear, sunny, high pressure day. I don't know what it is if they just get so tight to that structure. That they just, there's one, every time you pull one out, there's another one that's sitting there waiting to take its place or what, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a weird thing that happens. But when it starts happening, I mean, last Sunday, 34 pounds. I mean, yeah, they're pulling 30-pound sacks now. So it's,
that's
and that
good
always
stuff,
happens
man.
This time of year. When that water temperature starts dropping, especially when it drops, you know, into the 50s. And that water temperature gets down there real cold, and then you get that high pressure on top of it. I don't know what it is. Those big, big largemouth start eating. It's a weird thing, but they do. I mean, you'll catch.
Didn't
you'll
that
catch
giant that sack come on a kind of a high barometer like that? That Dusty and them caught.
Yes. Yeah, when Rusty and Dusty caught that big
Rusty
sack,
and Dusty
thing.
Man, the sack.
Yep. That's it. I mean, there ain't no doubt. I mean. You know, and I tell people this all the time. If you're a tournament fisherman, if you're a bass tournament fisherman, and you're in a five fish tournament, your goal is always 5 for 50. I mean, that's you shoot for 50 pounds every time. Because if you catch 5 10-pounders, you're going to win. I guarantee you. It's going to happen.
Think?
You're going to. I mean, that's the thing right there. I mean, that is. To me, in bass fishing, when you're competitively bass fishing, your goal is to get that 5 for 50 because that is, I mean, that's something that's it's attainable, but it's just right there on the edge of not being. You know, it can happen, and it's just like out there on those redfish and trout. I mean, you know, you, certain stringers that you want. You want, like, I don't know, the redfish is two fish deal that they weigh in.
Right. Trout are usually three fish, redfish, two fish.
Right. And you're shooting for those that, you know, two that are like 15 pounds on the redfish, or three that are like 12 pounds. Or nowadays,
they've got this redfishing down to pretty much a science. And
I don't know nothing about it.
You're lucky to, in some tournaments when it's really good, you're lucky to make the top five with 17 pounds.
Isn't that something? I mean, that's crazy. But it's
back in the day. I mean, 16, if you had 16 and a half, you were going to win.
Yeah. These short, compact fish are in the slot fish, let's say, are changing the game a little bit. But
yes,
you know, that's what's so funny about, just like in the largemouth. I mean, years ago, it was almost unheard of for a 50-pound sack. Over the past two or three years, Rayburn's been pumping out stringers, you know, that have been over 40 pounds. Conroe's been doing it for a while, but they're just not consistent, except for in the winter months, you know, when it gets cold. And then, just like this weekend, if the weather's, I hadn't looked at it that far out, but if Sunday's clear and sunny, it's going to be over a 30-pound stringer is going to win Sunday. I mean, it's just the way it is this time of year.
Yeah.
So, and it's, it takes a lot more patience to sit there on those fish and catch them too, because they're slow fishing. It's not something that's fast. It's slow fishing. And I did it years ago at Rayburn. I was fishing a deal over there and I sat there and watched Kevin Worth. People don't know Kevin Worth. He used to be a jockey that rode in Kentucky Derby. And he started bass fishing with BASS. I don't even know if he's still doing it or not. But when he got to doing that, I was on Rayburn fishing against him. And he was on the last day. See, I didn't make the cut. So last day I was sitting there watching him because I knew where he was fishing. He was fishing this one log. Every morning he'd pull up and fish this one log. Now, this log is about, Mickey, you and I couldn't reach our arms around and touch fingers on this log that's laying flat on the bottom with a root ball on it. And this thing is just laying there, and he knew it was laying there and just sitting in about 8 foot of water. And he would throw it, first thing, right off the bat, boom, he threw a crankbait out there, went right across it, caught one that was close to 10, right off the bat. I mean, very first cast, it's like, dang. And I'm sitting there watching that happen. I'm going, that's just weird on that one log like that. And then he'd sit there and throw a Carolina rig up to it. And he'd throw that rig up to it, and he'd drag it. And as soon as he'd hit that log, he would stop. He wouldn't drag it. He wouldn't move it. He would just let it sit there. Now, Kevin smoked cigarettes like a freight train. So he'd take fire up a cigarette, and then he'd take a couple drags off it, and then he'd take him, drink a soda water or whatever, and then he'd shake his rod a little bit. He wouldn't move it. He'd just shake it. Now, yeah. I remember this weight sitting right up against that log, and he'd just shake it. And then he'd take a couple drags off that cigarette, take him a drink of soda water. He'd shake it again. Every cast was taking him 10 to 15 minutes to get in. One cast. And it's like, good night, that's fishing slow. But every cast, he would catch a fish. Every single cast. But it was taking him 10 to 15 minutes to cast. But he would drag it up there and just stop it and shake it. He wouldn't move it, just shake it. And after he did that four or five times, after he'd bump into whatever structure it was, he would bounce it over that structure. And then when he hit the other side, he'd do the same thing. He'd shake it. He wouldn't move it. He'd shake it. Just make that thing quiver. And then the weight would sit there on bottom and just hold it, you know. He's got a bait that's just barely moving. Very next day, I came back to Conroe and tried it, and got on a brush pile, drug Carolina rig in the brush pile, and sat there and shook it and shook it and shook
it. Just a little tremble.
Just a little tremble. That's all it was. I had three fish that weighed 18 pounds in a matter of an hour. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. But it's super slow.
That's like rolling them crankbaits down and hitting – you know, hitting logs or hitting stumps with them, and then stopping it and just kind of just shake that rod tip with your line tight, and boy, they'll suck that crankbait all the way down to their crushers, man.
I guarantee it.
Redfish will do the same thing on rocks.
That's it is amazing fishing, how they'll do that.
You know, those rock groins and, you know, jetties and things like that when you're using them red crankbaits with a black back on them. Well, I don't know how many redfish we caught doing that back in the day in tournaments.
Oh, my. I
let that bill start tickling them rocks and then just stop it and sit there and hold it tight and just let it tremble a little bit. It just spank it. It spank it.
I'll tell you what, that's crazy. And them, and, you know, when they get it down in them crushers, it's like, good night. I mean, how do you get it out? Because I've had them bass do that. And they get it way down there, and you got a big crankbait, and they've swallowed it. I mean, that's
long-nose, like, needle-nose pliers.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's sometimes it's hard to get them out because they, but it's fun when they do, because you know you're doing the right thing when they do that. You absolutely know. You know, I mean, that's what I tell people a lot of times, especially crankbait fishing or any type crankbait, rattle trap, deep diving crankbaits or whatever. If you catch them, if you're catching fish and they're and you're catching them by the back hook, that's just catch them by the back hook. Change the color. Change colors. They'll start choking it. It's just, it's funny. It's a weird thing because sometimes, like you'll be throwing, let's say, a black and chartreuse. You catch them by the back hook. If you go to a blue and chartreuse, they might choke it. Or if you go to a blue and white, they might change it and choke it. You know, where they're just absolutely eating it. And instead of catching it by that one hook on the very back, and you're losing them when you're lifting them up, or coming, they're coming off on the way to the boat or stuff like that, that little bit of color change a lot of times will happen. I'll make it happen different anyway. And I've noticed that about these dying crappie, too. That's another reason why I want to get out there today, is I'll see with that wind down, see what these dying crappie are doing, because they should be fired up.
Is your wind down up there this morning?
Yes, we have very little wind this morning.
Boy, it blew. Did it blow a lot up there yesterday like it did on the coast?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Boy, it was all day long.
See, it's 18 to 22 down here on the coast this morning out of the northeast.
Well, right here sitting at the house, I started out a while ago. I had a northwest, and now it's down to north. I had northeast, now it's northwest at 2.
Yeah, you're terrible up there. We're still blowing northeast here. Yeah, that's
just
crazy. It's not that many miles, but it makes a big difference.
It does make a big difference. I mean, just like yesterday, it's like right off the bat, it started off, they're calling for all that wind. I said, it's not blowing. I want to go. And then it kicked it in high gear, and I said, no, I think I'll hold off. There ain't no sense in getting out there and getting beat up in it.
No.
You know, not like that. Not what I was wanting to do anyway. I couldn't have covered any water. I could have had to stand around in these little creeks and stuff. So I want to get out there and look around for them. That's what I want to do. Cover everything, north, south, and everything in the middle.
Yes, sir. All right, Richard. Well, I got to roll. I got to go to Matagorda next. But if somebody wants to come up and fish with you on Conroe and learn how to do it, fish your way, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
Well, Mick, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
How'd you come up with that Fish Dude? Somebody nickname you that or
what? No, it's a weird thing. It was really a weird thing. Years ago, my first business name was Lake Conroe Fishing Adventures. Well, I didn't register the name, and someone stole it. And when they stole it, I said, well, dang, I got to do something different. Well, it was my email address, Fish Dude. And I said, well, that sounds good enough.
That'll work. Well,
that's how it came to be.
I'll be darned.
Richard. All right, brother.
Hey, you have a good day, buddy. Catch
yes, sir,
a big old
do.
Bass. Bucket Mouth You're City. All right, man.
You ain't lying.
All right, brother. Later. All right, now let's go down to Matagorda and let's check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., what's up this morning?
Morning, Mickey. What's happening?
Oh, not a lot, brother. What's up with you?
Well, getting ready to fight this northeast wind and high pressure.
Attaboy.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Got to love it or got to hate it, one of the two.
Yeah, maybe we can get on that Bill Watkins pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the we had three good days of fishing, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday over here. Not a lot of people on the water either.
Right.
And that that weatherman in their forecast Tuesday, I mean, how wrong could you be over here? It was just perfect. Southeast wind, 10 miles an hour.
That was Tuesday?
Yeah.
Man.
I have no idea how many fish these guys caught that I had. I had three good fishermen in the boat. And Mickey, there's so many 16 to 16 and three-quarter inch trout in that bay. We probably released 200 of them.
Good Lord.
I'm not kidding you. And now the
those will be keepers next year.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, it was just nonstop.
What do y'all got to go through August before they change it back to 16 or 15?
Yeah, if they do.
Oh, if they do, yeah, if they see fit from all their sampling. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, those fish, they'll be stretching that 18-inch range next year.
Oh, yeah.
From now to then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not kidding. It just, the bay's just full of, no, the bay's not full of fish. They're not everywhere. There's still a lot of dead water out there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, man, I mean, if you land on them here, you think this is like old times, but it's really not, because all you got to do is leave those fish, and you might spend 4 or 5 hours trying to find another pod of them. You better, boy, once you find the getting, you better get with it and enjoy it. Because it could, if you change spots, you could go zero, real quick.
Now, the funny part is we're invaded with oyster boats over here.
Yeah.
On the west corner. And, Saturday we had strong straight west winds. Sunday the wind was south-southwest at 20. And, for some reason, they don't oyster on weekends. On Saturdays and Sundays, they're not out there.
Huh.
And I took a chance and went to that west corner where they've all been oystering Sunday.
Right.
All the trout were 17 or above. There was no under 17-inch trout.
Huh.
And they were plentiful. They were everywhere. And so were the redfish everywhere.
I used to love fishing behind them oyster boats, especially in East Bay. I mean, they'd groom those reefs one day, and you could fish around them, around the edges of them in the clear streaks and catch fish. But that next day, when they didn't come back, they went somewhere else, you better be on that reef after they've started up. Boy, them fish would be on it tight, man.
That's the way it was. When I went back the next day, Monday, the oyster boats were there and you couldn't catch nothing. I had to wait. The wind was out of the northeast the next day, so I had to wait for the water to clear up away from them to catch our fish. And then we had high pressure on us too. But my God, the redfish were everywhere out there to save the day. That's what I'm hoping to find today to make these people happy.
And yeah, they're gone. Them redfish love it after they've stirred them reefs up, and it draws all them crustaceans and bait fish and everything else with all the nutrients they've stirred up, and long come the fish with them.
Yeah. And when it warmed up Tuesday with that southeast winds, the big sand trout showed up, the gulf trout showed up. So
there you go.
I don't know. We had 5 or 6 hours of just fish on every cast. I just stood there with slimy hands, taking fish off, throwing them back in as quick as they could catch them. Or keeping sand trout and gulf trout.
Right.
So anyway, that's what's going on over here. The river's still off color, but it's not running. And I'd say within 3 or 4 days, it'd probably be fishable again.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what they're releasing up above. I guess you'll find out for Bob tomorrow.
Yeah, he's his lake still needs to come up.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. When I talked to him last week, it's still low. It came. Yeah. I think he said it came up about 6 inches, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it won't take long, and that river will clear back up.
No.
The fish haven't gone anywhere. They're just down there deep on the bottom.
That's it. Low light conditions.
Yep. So that's what's happening over here, Mickey.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I can hear it in your voice. Things are a little better for you.
Yeah. It helps to make it a little easier, you know?
Yeah, it does. Well, it puts a little giddy up in your step knowing, hey, man, fishing's starting to get good, and you look forward to getting out of bed and going and doing it the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, this is December the 1st.
Yeah.
Two best weeks of the year to fish, the first there 2 weeks of December.
I love December.
Yes, sir.
I've had some of my best stringers ever in this month right
here.
Oh,
yeah.
Killed some of the biggest deer I got on the wall in December, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And shot a lot of ducks in December.
Yeah.
Life is good in December.
Yes,
plus
it is.
The holidays, Christmas. All right, buddy. Well, Charlie, glad things are going good. If somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing with you, man, give them some info. Give them a number, man.
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
That's it. CharlieParadiski.com.
Yes, sir.
Captain Instagram. All right, buddy. Charlie, you have a good one. It's good talking to you. Catch him up.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, brother.
Bye.
See you. All right. That's Captain Charlie P. down in Matagorda. It is time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.